the perils of swapping a car for money. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. People in a jam who borrow against their car or truck often lose the vehicle. New data from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau today finds that 1 in 5 people who take out loans using the titles of their vehicles end up getting their cars seized by the lender. The loans usually come with a daunting interest rate, which can work out to about 300% annually. And they're supposed to be paid back in a lump sum, but this report finds many people instead reborrow the money on the due date. Nick Bork directs research on consumer issues at the Pew Charitable Trusts.
The research that's out there about payday and title loans shows very clearly that when loans come due in full in a short amount of time, they take far too much of a person's paycheck, and they actually make it harder for them to pay their bills, not easier. So the solution to that is to ensure that monthly payments on loans only take a small percentage of a person's paycheck, about 5%. Is the right amount for most borrowers.
Bork says new rules could be on the way.
The CFPB is putting out this research now because this spring they will be announcing new rules that cover the auto title and payday loan markets, and they are building the case for strong reform.
This part of the loan industry has said it provides a crucial service when it lends using a vehicle's title as collateral. There's news today that sales were down at Target stores last quarter, and the forecast for the quarter we're now in was weaker than investment analysts were expecting. Target stock is down 8.5% right now. Let's check in with Susan Schmidt, Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas. Morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, we have Target today, again, with the tepid outlook for retail sales. Yet if you add all retail sales up, government does this, we know that those are pretty strong. How do you resolve this?
We saw a lot of earnings reports from big box retailers last week, and the earnings reports were quite weak. And so that was a big surprise. However, when the government put out the data around retail sales last Friday, it was very strong. So what it's telling us is that consumers are no longer going to big box retail as much. We're seeing that growth shift to online. And the big box retailers are suffering from it. We're seeing it again this morning with Target announcing their sales. Well, this quarter was relatively okay. Their guide, again, so what they expect to happen in the next quarter is much lower and cautious compared to what the market was expecting. So they're very aware that the consumer is changing their spending patterns, and I think that's going to have a big impact on retail going forward.
Now, shifting here, a little later today, the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve took notes at their last meeting. The notes come out today?
Yes, the notes do come out today, and I think that will keep the market in check earlier this morning until they see those minutes. Everyone's cautious and wants to know. There have been hints from some of the Fed presidents talking in the last couple of days that another rate increase might be on the table, and the market's waiting to see if the minutes are going to back that up or not.
All right, Susan Schmidt at Westwood in Dallas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're also covering the new rules out this morning detailing which American salaried workers will now be eligible for time and a half if they work overtime. It's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day if you missed that on the air. Hi, David Brancaccio here. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We give you the context we think you need to understand what's happening in the economy and why it matters to you. Some context on us. We are a nonprofit service and rely on donations from our listeners to keep going. And we've just made special Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses available to thank you for your support. Donate today at marketplace.org. Now to our occasional series called Pro Tool, where we're on the hunt for people willing to claim that a piece of equipment they use on the job is the best of the best. The comedian's Shure microphone, the hairstylist's crazy expensive Japanese shears. Today, archaeologist Stacy Barber tells us what is so special about her Marshalltown, which is not a place, but indeed a tool in the strictest sense of the word.
It's the name of a kind of trowel. Archaeologists, we respect history and tradition. That's the brand that the greats, the archaeologists who inspired Indiana Jones, they would have used Marshalltown trowels. And so their students then used them, and then their students. And so now we're 4 or 5 generations in. But it's not just the tradition. The Marshalltown trowel is really sturdy. So if you really want to put some pressure on the blade, you know, maybe you're trying to pop a rock or something out of the earth, you can put some torque on the trowel and it won't snap, whereas a cheaper trowel will break.
Here, gently, not too hard, thwack the microphone with that sucker.
Let me try. Actually, how about this? I'm going to ding it on a rock. You ready?
Yep. That's magnificent.
Isn't it? Thank you.
Now, Professor Barber, you studied Mesoamerica. That takes you to which country?
I have worked in a number of countries, El Salvador, Honduras, and now most recently Mexico. And I've been working in Mexico since 2000.
What'd you find? Anything cool?
Anything 2,000 years old is just going to be cool in principle. But the coolest thing I found is I found a flute made of a deer bone that was carved with the image of likely the god who was summoned when the flute was played. So it's this guy with his skeletal body, and he's got a long top knot hair, sort of ponytail coming down his back. And the holes of the flute are the eye hole of his skull in the carving.
And a window into someone's life more than a millennium ago.
2,000 years ago, and it was actually held in the hand of the person who likely played it before he died. He was about 16 years old when he died, and the flute was buried with him, clutched in his right hand.
All right. Stacy Barber is an archaeologist at the University of Central Florida. You can see a picture of her tool of choice and that 2,000-year-old flute at marketplace.org/protool. And if you want, you can also tell us what kind of tool is the best in your line of work. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.